Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice and honorable members of the court. It's my pleasure this afternoon to introduce my co-counsel, Mr. Andrew Horn from the firm of Kirkland & Ellis, along with Mr. Matt Dexter and my colleague, John DeTomo.
Welcome, John.
With the court's permission, Mr. Horn will be making the argument on behalf of Appalese.
Right.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice Steele, Justice Berger, Justice Ridgely. Before I begin my argument, I'd like to introduce to the court my colleagues from Young Conaway, Roland Bissell, Elena Norman, Katie McCormick, and from AmerisourceBergen, Mr. David Sr., Mr. Laz Kerkorian, and Mr. John Sturz, all executive officers with that company.
Welcome to all.
Your Honors, this appeal involves a lawsuit arising from a merger agreement between AmerisourceBergen and Bridge Medical, Inc. that was entered into in November 2002. That merger agreement provided that the Bridge stockholders would be entitled to certain earn-out payments if Bridge's EBITDA during the 2 years immediately following the merger reached certain specified levels. In fact, the Bridge's EBITDA in those 2 years did not reach the levels specified. In fact, it was negative for both of those years. Nonetheless, the court determined below that an earnout for the year 2003 was due in the maximum amount permissible for that year, $21 million, because Bridge argued certain revenue credits were due to it that must be added to its EBITDA, and that took its EBITDA from a negative number to the number that earned the maximum earnout credit. There are a number of issues on this appeal, but for purposes of this oral argument, I will focus on one issue, and that's the question of whether the actual revenues that Bridge Medical received when it licensed product to Cerner Corporation under an agreement known as the reseller agreement must be adjusted upward for revenue credits applicable to a bundled sale. The Court of Chancery concluded on summary judgment that the unambiguous language of the merger agreement compelled that revenue credit be granted. If that decision was an error, then all of the other issues on this appeal are either moot or may be deferred because no earnout could possibly be paid under any scenario if that transaction was not given the credit in question. The provision of the merger agreement at issue in this case reads as follows. When Bridge's products, and this is at page 7 of our opening brief, when Bridge's products or services are bundled with other products or services of ABC, and that's our shorthand for AmerisourceBergen, or any of ABC's other subsidiaries in a sale to a customer, Bridge will receive a revenue credit for such bundled sale. That is the entirety of the language relating to this revenue credit. There is no dispute as to the purpose for this revenue credit. The purpose of the revenue credit was that it was thought that if Bridge's products, that in a bundled sale, Bridge's products would be discounted as a result of being combined with ABC products as like a lost leader. And so the purpose of the revenue credit was to compensate Bridge for discounts that it might incur in its sales price as a result of its products being bundled. There's no dispute that that's the purpose of the clause. There's also no dispute that the reseller agreement did not involve any discount to Bridge's products as a result of the alleged bundling of that product with an ABC product or service. The reason for that is the ABC product or service at issue was an ABC subsidiary, AutoMed, agreed to provide a small amount of services to a hospital chain called UPMC for free. And no one has argued that the provision of ABC services to UPMC for free could have possibly caused anyone in the reseller agreement to pay Bridge less for its products.
Let me interrupt you there. If I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that although the contract language says that there will be this credit for bundled sales, since that was based on the assumption that bundled sales would involve a discount, it shouldn't apply to a bundled sale that didn't have a discount.
That's part of the argument, but, Your Honor, we'll take on the question of does this bundled sale provision literally require the discount, because that's the issue on this appeal, on this issue, is notwithstanding the fact that the reseller agreement didn't involve any discount, didn't involve the very reason the revenue credit was to be given, Bridge's argument is that the court below was handcuffed and required by the literal language of the contract to give the revenue credit nonetheless. And I want to confront that issue because we think that that's not true, that this language did not literally require that result. Now, the elements, the literal elements of a bundled sale, as Bridge articulates them in their brief, this is Bridge's brief at page 14, and I'll read it. First, there must be a sale to a customer. Second, the sale must include at least one of Bridge's products or services and at least one product or service of any of ABC's other subsidiaries. And third, those products must be bundled or sold together. In order for Bridge to prevail on this appeal, they must persuade this court de novo that the only possible interpretation, the only reasonable interpretation that could be given to the application of the merger agreement bundled sale provisions to the reseller agreement is that all of those elements have been met. I submit, Your Honor, none have been met. There's certainly ambiguity as to each. Now, let me quickly review the elements of the reseller agreement, because that's the question is this a bundled sale? The only parties to the reseller agreement are Bridge and a corporation known as Cerner Corporation. Bridge licensed certain software to Cerner to be sublicensed by Cerner to UPMC Health Systems, Inc. It was Cerner that paid Bridge all the fees under that reseller agreement. UPMC was to pay Bridge nothing under the reseller agreement. In fact, UPMC wasn't even a party to the reseller agreement. The part of the reseller agreement that creates even the argument that it's a bundled sale is a provision that said that Bridge, not ABC or its subsidiary, but Bridge would provide to UPMC a service known as AutoMed Level 3 Design at no additional cost. Now, in fact, Bridge couldn't provide those services. They weren't its services to provide. Those services were a service provided by an ABC subsidiary known as AutoMed. AutoMed did subsequently provide those services to UPMC for free. We submit it's impossible to think that the provision of those services by AutoMed to UPMC for free caused Bridge to receive something less. In fact, they were provided by AutoMed as a to facilitate the sale by Bridge to Cerner. AutoMed, the ABC subsidiary, is not a party to the reseller agreement. In fact, the reseller agreement under its terms doesn't even purport to require it to do anything, since it's Bridge that's supposed to be providing these services. So let's turn to
Didn't the Chancellor say this is a level of detail that could have been addressed but wasn't addressed in the agreement?
Your Honor, I think it is correct that the provision we're dealing with is anything but precise. It is not a mathematical equation. But there's three questions that need to be answered when evaluating whether the reseller agreement is a bundled sale. The first question is, who is the customer under the reseller agreement? Who is Bridge's customer? The second question is, what does bundled mean? And the third question is, it requires that the products be bundled in a sale by whom? Though none of those three questions are answered by the literal terms of this agreement, at least not clearly answered, if you were to limit yourself to the literal terms, we think we have the better side of that argument. But ABC's position has always been that those terms need to be interpreted in the context of the purpose of the clause and the economic substance of the reseller agreement. Bridge's position has been that this language is so clear, it's like a mathematical equation. Plug in the numbers, press the button, pops your revenue credit, and add it to your EBITDA, and you're done. And here's why they're wrong. The first thing all the parties agree to is that both the Bridge product and the ABC product must be sold to the same customer. Well, under this reseller structure, who was the customer of AutoMed? It was UPMC that AutoMed provided its services to. Who was the customer of Bridge? Well, it was Cerner that got the license from Bridge. It was Cerner that was the party to the reseller agreement. It was Cerner that paid Bridge for the services. We submit that under the common sense, plain meaning of the word purchaser, Cerner, or customer, Cerner was the customer of Bridge. And therefore, AutoMed's services went to UPMC, Bridge's services or products went to Cerner. They aren't the same customer. No bundled sale. Bridge says, oh, no, the customer is the ultimate user of the product. And since Bridge's software was sublicensed by Cerner to UPMC, UPMC is the customer for both. So here's the contract issue. When the word customer is used under this merger agreement, what does it mean? Does it mean the purchaser, or does it mean the ultimate user? Well, first of all, the merger agreement has no definition of the word customer. And there is absolutely nothing in the merger agreement, not a word, that would support the contention that customer means ultimate user. What's the dictionary definition of customer? The dictionary definition, as we cited in our brief, is almost universally that the purchaser of a product or service is the customer. What's the case law definition of customer? We cited cases where the court treated the purchaser as the customer, including cases involving reseller agreements where the courts held that the purchaser was the customer of the first seller, not the ultimate user of the product. So if the issue of is it the same customer is decided on the plain, usual meaning of the word customer, there's no question then that Bridge's customer was Cerner and AutoMed's customer was UPMC. Now, if we can go a step further, let's ask the question, how about considering what the word customer means in the context of this revenue credit? Well, there's two reasons why the customer ought to be the purchaser and not the ultimate user. First of all, the whole provision is premised on the idea that the customer is paying less to Bridge for its products than because the customer is also purchasing something from an ABC subsidiary. Well, in answering the question, who is the customer, the most important query is, well, who's paying? Because if different people are paying for those two products, there is no prospect of a bundled sale discount. So when you consider the meaning of customer within the context of this clause, it's clear that it ought to be the purchaser who is the focus of the inquiry. There's a second reason. If the revenue credit applies, it's got to be calculated. The court below, the parties below, all calculated the revenue credit based upon the purchase price that Cerner paid Bridge, not the purchase price that UPMC paid Cerner on the sublicense, which was actually considerably more than what Cerner paid Bridge, because Cerner already had a contractual relationship with UPMC that predated this agreement, and this software was just being integrated in the computer services that Cerner was already providing to Bridge. So both the context of the clause as well as the plain meaning leads to the conclusion that they weren't the same customer with respect to the ABC product and the Cerner product. There's a second reason, and that's the meaning of the word bundled. Everyone agrees that for the revenue credit to apply, what AutoMed provides to its customer and what Cerner provides to its customer need to be, quote, bundled. What does bundled mean? Well, I would submit that bundled is not a precise or unambiguous word. Bundled is not defined in the contract. Bundled is not a term of art with an unambiguous meaning. Bundled is an undefined concept that could only take its meaning from the purpose of the clause in which it is being used. And this goes back to the question that Justice Berger asked me. What does bundled mean? Well, when we try to figure out what bundled means, the key thing we ought to be looking for is the discount that this revenue credit was created to address present? But Bridge says, oh, no, we shouldn't look at that. Bridge says we shouldn't look at that because bundled has a clear and unambiguous meaning. The clear and unambiguous meaning, Bridge says, is, quote, sold together. Well, the words sold together appear nowhere in this contract. Nowhere in the contract does the contract say bundled means sold together. But what does sold together mean? I would submit this. If you've got a transaction that where a Bridge and an ABC subsidiary both sell product to the same customer under the same contract, that would probably clearly be bundled. I would also submit that if you've got a transaction between Bridge and customer A and a transaction between an ABC subsidiary and customer B, and there's no relationship between the two, that's clearly not bundled. Now, there are a host of transactions in between those two extremes. Are any of them bundled? And if so, how do we decide? Well, if we were to answer that question on a literal basis, the only answer we could give is that at least one of the parties to that second transaction, in this case AutoMed or UPMC, must be a party to the first transaction for the word bundled to have any meaning. And in this case, neither UPMC nor AutoMed were a party to the reseller agreement. But we're not arguing that that's how the case should be decided. We're more than happy for the court to look into that middle ground and look at the transactions in between those two extremes and try to ascertain, are any of them bundled? But when it does that, the most critical inquiry would be, does the transaction evidence the characteristic for which the revenue credit was created? Is the product of Bridge being discounted because of the transaction that ABC is involved in? If the answer to that is no, as it is in this case, then that should be the end of the matter. The bottom line here, Your Honor, there's an additional argument that I don't have time to get into, and I apologize. The bottom line here is that no one disputes that this revenue credit wasn't owed, I mean earned. There was no discount. The court felt itself handcuffed by what it conceived to be the unambiguous literal language of this contract to grant the revenue credit. It was not, Your Honors. Thank you.
May it please the court. At both summary judgment and again at trial, Chancellor Chandler rejected ABC's proposed interpretation of the merger agreement. The court did that because, in its view, ABC was asking the court to take up the judicial blue pencil and rewrite the contract. ABC wanted to rewrite the contract from the contract it signed into the contract it wished it had signed. And Chancellor Chandler rejected that request. On appeal, ABC is asking this court to do precisely the same thing. And ABC, to make matters worse, are advancing new arguments that they didn't make in the court below. Now, ABC's new theory of the case is no more compelling than the theory they advanced in the Court of Chancery. And at the end of the day, I submit, Your Honours, that ABC has offered no good reason why this court should disturb the Chancellor's well-reasoned opinion. Your Honours, in ABC's argument, they raised an initial issue that I want to address straight away, and that is whether or not the UPMC contract contained a discount. Your Honours, it's clear that the UPMC contract did contain a discount. Bridge's products and services were sold for far less than the list price that Bridge had for those products and services. And that, Your Honours, is a discount.
Was that a finding of fact made by the Chancellor?
The Chancellor certainly concluded that there was a discount when he applied his revenue, his approach to calculating the revenue credit. He couldn't have applied that approach unless he concluded there was a discount.
So it's implied, an implied finding?
I believe so, Your Honor. Now, ABC's argument here today is that none of the conditions are satisfied for the application of this revenue recognition provision, paragraph 34, or revenue credit provision, I should say. As ABC correctly points out, there are three conditions here, or three issues in dispute, one being who the customer is, one being what bundled means, and lastly, what the concept of in a sale means. Let me touch first upon the in a customer issue. Your Honours, as I understand it, ABC's position is that the customer for AutoMed was UPMC, but the customer for Bridge was Cerner, and that gives rise to two customers. Your Honours, I submit there are three reasons why that argument should be rejected. The first and most basic reason, Your Honours, is that this was an argument that was not raised in the court below. In fact, the position that ABC is taking here today directly contradicts the arguments they raised in front of the Chancellor. Here, ABC is arguing that UPMC was not Bridge's customer. But in summary judgment, they said quite the opposite. They said, and I quote from page 51 of their summary judgment opening brief, Bridge worked with Cerner to sell MedPoint to UPMC. On page 24 of their reply brief, Bridge sold its products in a pass-through sale to UPMC. Now, Your Honours, I submit that Rule 8 does not allow a party to take a position on appeal that contradicts the position they took in the court below. The second reason I submit that ABC's argument as to who the customer is should be rejected relates to this plain language argument that ABC is advancing, this argument that the party obligated under the contract and or who pays for the contract is supposedly the customer here. Now, I noted that in ABC's argument, they said that not a word in the merger agreement defines who the customer is. With all due respect, Your Honours, I don't believe that is the case. In paragraph 34 of the merger agreement, the term customer is used twice. First, in determining whether or not the sale is a bundled sale, which is the issue we're addressing here. But later in the paragraph, the word customer is used in the context of when the revenue credit should be applied. And there, Your Honours, I just want to quote the language. The credit for bundled sales will be added to revenues for determining adjusted EBITDA attainment in the year that the software is delivered to the customer and, critically, for services in the year in which services are provided to the customer. Your Honours, I'd submit that according to the plain language, therefore, the customer is the entity to whom the services are being provided. And in that case, this is undoubtedly UPMC. Cerner was not provided with any services under the contract. It was UPMC who was provided with the services. So accordingly, to adopt ABC's interpretation of customer, one would be interpreting the word in two different ways within the same provision. Now, ABC's proposed definition doesn't merely contradict or create an internal inconsistency within the provision of paragraph 34, it creates an inconsistency in their own arguments. Now, in ABC's opening appellate brief, ABC says time and time again that UPMC was AutoMed's customer. However, there is no evidence of any contract between UPMC and AutoMed. And as ABC repeatedly contends, UPMC did not pay AutoMed for the product. So according to ABC's own definition, that a customer is someone that has a contractual relationship with the seller or pays for the product, AutoMed, the entity that ABC repeatedly says UPMC was a customer for, frankly, Your Honor, AutoMed wouldn't fit the point. UPMC would not be AutoMed's customer under its own definition. So accordingly, for those reasons, Your Honour, I would submit that the Court should reject ABC's proposed interpretation of the word customer. Now, third, Your Honour, Your Honours, the issue as to whether or not the language is ambiguous as to the word contract. Well, even if that were so, Your Honors, which I submit it's not, by virtue of the language of paragraph 34 itself, the issue of fact that that would create, who is the customer, has already been decided by the court below. After trial, the Chancery Court expressly found that the party intended to be the customer for purposes of paragraph 34 was always UPMC. And I submit, Your Honours, for what is very good reason, ABC has not challenged that finding. And the good reason is that ABC long ago admitted that UPMC was Bridge's customer. In fact, they advertised that fact. In 2005, when ABC was attempting to sell Bridge, they prepared a confidential offering memoranda. And in that confidential memoranda, ABC listed UPMC as one of Bridge's customers. Your Honours, I'd submit it would be disingenuous for ABC to now come in here and argue that UPMC was not indeed Bridge's customer. The second argument that I believe ABC made was concerned the definition of the word bundled. And in granting summary judgment, the court below used a very simple and straightforward definition of the word bundled. The court said it meant sold together. Now, in the lower court, ABC did not dispute that definition. On appeal, however, they are, and are now advancing for the very first time, their own proposed definition. And ABC says that it simply doesn't mean sold together. They say, and I'm reading from the reply brief, Your Honours, for contracts to be bundled, at least one of the parties to the second transaction must be a party to the contract creating the first transaction. Now, Your Honours, the first problem with this is that it has no support. Your Honours, I'd submit that it's a stretch to believe that the reasonable man in hearing the term bundled would start to consider which party was obliged to which other party and which transactions existed vis-a-vis other transactions. In fact, ABC cites no authority for the proposition that the commonly understood definition of the word bundled involves examining contractual obligations and different transactions. But the second problem with ABC's argument is that the definition doesn't make any sense. ABC's definition relies upon there being two transactions, as they put it, a first transaction and a second transaction. But in the case of UPMC, there only was one transaction, the UPMC transaction. And that is precisely how ABC framed the issue in the court below. ABC moved for summary judgment on the question of whether the UPMC transaction was a bundled sale. In doing so, ABC expressly stated in their summary judgment brief at page 48 that the final deal, that is the UPMC deal, was accomplished in two steps. Bridge sold MedPoint to Cerner and Cerner sold MedPoint to UPMC. Put another way, the UPMC transaction consisted of two agreements, the reseller agreement and the pass-through agreement. And the issue in Chancery Court and the issue the court decided was whether or not those two agreements taken together constituted a bundled sale. And the court indeed noted that the parties had moved for summary judgment, quote, on the issue of whether the transaction between Bridge, Cerner, and UPMC constitutes a bundled sale. And the court found that plaintiffs are entitled to summary judgment on the sole issue of whether the UPMC transaction constituted a bundled sale. Essentially, in their appellate briefs and again here at argument, ABC is asking the court to ignore the pass-through agreement and simply focus on the reseller agreement. But, Your Honours, that was simply one part of the transaction, and it's artificial and contrary to ABC's own claims to suggest that the reseller agreement should be treated separately. Thus, for those two reasons, I submit that ABC has offered no good reason to depart from the court's straightforward definition of the word bundled. The last issue, Your Honour, that I believe ABC raised concerned what the words in a sale meant and whether or not there was in a sale here. Well, Your Honour, simply put, I would submit that there was a sale. There was a sale of products to UPMC, and that clearly satisfies the definition. Your Honors, I'd submit that there is no ambiguity in paragraph 34, as the Court of Chancery found. Each of the words that are purportedly in dispute, customer, sold together, bundled, they all have plain language definitions, just as the Court of Chancery found.
Could I raise a factual question with you? If I understand opposing counsel, they're saying that one of the reasons why it would be inappropriate to consider this a bundled sale is because the reseller agreement did not result in any discount, and that the underlying purpose of the revenue credit was to deal with discounts in bundled sales. If I heard you correctly early on, you said that it did result in a discount. Can we get that factual problem resolved?
Sure. Your Honors, the simple issue is that UPMC, that the price that was paid for the Bridge products was less than the, quote, list price that Bridge had for its products. Bridge maintained a list price that dictated what its products would sell for. That was the advertised price. It was customary, as paragraph 34 states, for Bridge to discount that list price in selling its products. In other words, the customer would traditionally pay less for the products than the list price.
So how much was the discount?
I believe the discount, Your Honor, was approximately $4 million. I don't have the precise number to hand, but I believe it was approximately $4 million.
But that's in the record.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor, the number is in the record.
But are there potentially two different kinds of discounts here in the sense of if there's a list price but everybody gets a discount to the list price, that's one situation. If there's a list price, a standard discount price, and then a deeper discount that goes with a bundled sale, then wouldn't that be what we should be looking at in terms of deciding whether there was actually a discount?
No, Your Honors. There was not a separate discount necessarily for bundled sales. Although paragraph 34 does refer to normal discounting of 20%, it also anticipates precisely that other contracts, unbundled contracts, may be discounted by more than 20%. If we look at paragraph 34, Your Honors, that's clear from the very language where it states that the surviving corporation will receive revenue credit for such bundled sales at the surviving corporation's list price for such products and services less normal discounting of 20%. Provided, however, that where products and services are discounted by more than 20%, the discount to be applied for purposes of shall be the average amount of the discount in the last five unbundled contracts. Specifically anticipate, Your Honor, that the discounts in the last five unbundled contracts may be more than 20%. And indeed, that was the case in most situations. Your Honors, with that concludes my submissions, unless I may be of any further assistance to the Court.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me deal with discounts first of all. The revenue credit was created when the Bridge product was discounted as a result of being bundled with an ABC product, not for any discount. When Bridge gave discounts unilaterally, not because they were being bundled, there was no revenue credit that was due. Mr. Horn knows that well. And what's missing from this transaction, and everyone agrees that it's missing from this transaction, is the fact that AutoMed provided services for free to UPMC did not cause either UPMC or Cerner to pay anything less to Bridge than would have otherwise been the case. And that is why the type of discount that this revenue credit was intended to compensate for, because when this was created, it was to be an adjustment to the EBITDA. And so what Bridge said to ABC was, look, if we discount our product or you discount our product because it's combined with one of your products and you're using our product as a loss leader, we don't want that to hit our EBITDA. We want to get a revenue credit in that circumstance, and ABC agreed. But the key question is, was the discount resulted from, did it result from being bundled? There could have been no discount. Bridge could not have paid less money or received less money because AutoMed gave away services to UPMC. Why would UPMC pay less because it was getting something for free? If what AutoMed did facilitated the sale. Mr. Horn knows that. Secondly, on the question of customer, he says we didn't contest that below, but he says the court made a factual finding. Obviously, we contested it below, or my predecessor counsel did, but the court's factual finding was made after the summary judgment was granted. Third, he says that the customer should be the person who the product's delivered to. Who did Bridge treat as the customer who the product was delivered to for the accounting purposes in paragraph 34? Cerner, not UPMC. Bundled. If anyone thinks that the word, Mr. Horn says that bundled, we haven't established what bundled means. It's his burden to establish what bundled means. They got summary judgment on the basis that it was unambiguous. And if anyone can believe that the word bundled in this context is unambiguous, then I'm going to buy Mr. Horn a beer when the decision comes down.
Your time's up, Mr. McBride. You better go for the beer now.
I will, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel, for an interesting argument. We'll take the case under advisement and adjourn.